Oh, we are live. Hello there, Private Practice Success Community. How are you guys going? Let me just refresh my page because I would love to share this into one of my groups. Let's have a look. There we are. Guatemala is live. Let's share that. Hey Shane, how are you? Where are you currently riding around Australia on your motorbike, I presume? Hey Patricia, hey Tess, hey Mark, how are you guys going? Wow, what are you guys up to? It is Saturday night, right? Hope you're having fun, whatever it is that you're doing. Let me just share this in my private practice success group. Hey, you look comfy. Yes, I am actually on my bed. I've just had a shower, so no makeup. Just had a lovely shower after a day, having had two walks on the beach, having spent like 2 hours, even a bit of napping by the poolside. Hey, Kate, thanks for joining. So I'm all ready for staying inside with my daughter. I've just shared that, did I? Perfect. Yes, I've had a shower, ready for a girl's night in. We are just getting room service. I was here, of course, for 2 days, Wednesday and Thursday, to attend a inner circle retreat for the inner circle that I belong to. And I called my husband on the Thursday and I said, it is so lovely here. Pack up the kids. They're not going to school tomorrow. Drive out and come sleep over here. And they stayed over Thursday and Friday night, so two nights. And this morning at 5:30 we were up, and of course here on the Gold Coast it was like daylight at 5:30. They left for a pre-planned camping weekend away, so they have gone, I don't know where, don't ask me where, I can't remember the name, but it's like 4 hours from here, which is why they had to get up so early to go camp and ride motorbikes for today and tomorrow, and they'll come home very late tomorrow night. That of course is not something that really tickles my fancy, because there's not even water where they are going. They have to buy their own water to take with them. There are no showers, nothing like that. So they basically, the whole idea is they eat lightly, they make barbecues, stuff like that, and they ride their motorbikes the whole time. So they are off to enjoy that. So I've stayed on with my 16-year-old daughter here on the Gold Coast. We slept in this morning, had a lovely breakfast, went for a walk on the beach, then had lunch, then went to the pool, then had a nap, then had some Ben and Jerry's ice cream, that's what it's called. Had another walk on the beach and then came back, and I've just had a shower. And before we get some room service, I thought I will check in with you guys and say hello. Hey Martha, thanks for hopping on. Just realized my water bottle is on the balcony. Hey Rebecca, how are you? So I'm just gonna walk you out here. This is the balcony, and there is the ocean. How lovely is that, right? Now down there, that is surface paradise. And of course, it's a very, very busy time at the moment here on the Gold Coast, because it is the Gold Coast, what do they call it? Where all the cars are like racing at the V8 cars, that type of thing. Hey Monique, how are you? So it's the V8s. And when I actually drove in on Wednesday morning, I had to drive on the actual course, because there were so many detours, and to get to this hotel, I had to go onto the road for the course. How loud is that? Loud is that ocean? It sure is. It is. It's so loud. And I keep the doors open the whole time. It's just absolutely amazing. And I so love it. This is where I am retiring one day, by the ocean. Not the Gold Coast necessarily, because I think the Gold Coast is just too busy for me. I've got a bit of a love-hate relationship with the Gold Coast. I love the beach, I love the ocean, but there's just too many tourists. And I know me, when I retire, I'm gonna want a bit of peace and quiet. So I'm gonna have to find me a piece of sandy Gold Coast that's not on the actual Gold Coast. Hey Naomi, thanks for joining me. So yes, I thought what I might do is just share with you just one of the many, many takeaways that I've had whilst attending my Inner Circle retreat. I of course run Inner Circles, but I'm a firm believer that all of us, doesn't matter how far developed you are in your journey of being a private practice owner, just of being a human being, that there's always professional and of course personal development that we can do, right? The personal development stuff, you as a person, your belief in yourself, but even as, you know, for me now doing a lot of stuff online, being a mentor, being a coach to practice owners, I still have so much to learn. I think when you think you know it all, that's the biggest mistake that you can make, because there's always a next level. We all have a next level. And that is one of those things that we talked about at this Inner Circle that I attended. And it was, you know, your readiness for taking things to the next level and whether you actually feel worthy. And I realized through a lot of journaling prompts that we did over those 2 days that I feel very worthy for where I am right now in terms of what I've achieved, because, you know, I've got a lot of evidence, like having run 2 group private practices for 10 years, having now done private practice success for 3 or 4 years, you know, I know what I'm doing, I know that I'm good at it. But when I think of what is that next level for Gerda in her growth, in her development as a business coach and mentor, it's like, ew, can I do more? Is there more that I can be and help? And the answer is always, of course you can. Of course you can step things up to that next level. And it again reminded me of that concept that is so common amongst clinicians, especially amongst the helping professional, okay? And that is imposter syndrome. I think we all have suffered from that at some point or another. I know when I was a brand new psychologist, I sure as hell suffered from it, okay? And I think it's almost part of your induction into getting your full registration. Yeah, I'm sure there's some people that never has it. I'm not sure what I think about that, but I almost feel like it's part of your growth process where you get your master's, you get your registration, and then you actually realize, oh my goodness, I'm now a real psychologist. I now need to do this thing, right? And that imposter syndrome feeling that you get, and I probably struggled with that for about 3 to 6 months until I was going, all right, my clients are, you know, they keep on coming back, all of that type of thing. I think I've got this. But of course, it's not that I thought I knew everything. I knew my clients were coming back, and I also knew that I was engaging in consistent professional development and supervision, right? So I had people around me to support me, make sure that I'm doing and handling my cases in the right way. So that gave me a lot of confidence. So what I do know, however, is that there's some of you out there that has been doing this, allied health professionals, psychologists, occupational therapists, speech pathologists, dietitian, whatever your allied health profession is, I know there are many of you out there that still, after potentially years, are left feeling like imposters, like, oh my God, I'm gonna be caught out any moment. Any moment now, people are gonna realize that I'm just bluffing my way through being whatever it is that you are. Let's say psychologist, but that's what I am. I know that because I speak to a lot of you and you tell me that. And I think that's a really great first step, because I think a lot of people actually hide it. The fact that they have it. Rebecca says, so true. Naomi says, she's called Shari and sits on my shoulder constantly whispering in my ear. okay, we've tried to externalize that. I can see Naomi. That's a good first step. Mark says, I've had compassion fatigue 6 times and still going strong, Gerda, but one must address it. Most certainly, yes. And it starts by acknowledging it and recognizing it. And, you know, if you still have it, I really want you to stop and really go, I need to address this once and for all. Because the fact of the matter is that imposter syndrome, I don't know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I suspect it's of no help whatsoever to you. And I suspect it is of no help whatsoever to your clients. It is of no help whatsoever to your family. Okay? It is of no help whatsoever. So what is its purpose? To torture you? To make you feel bad? We just need to kick that imposter syndrome's ass. Because, you know, we can take the CBT route here, okay? And we can go, let's look at the evidence. I got through 3 years of undergrad. I got through honors. I got into masters. I mean, just getting into masters is huge. Then graduating from a master's, or if you've done a 4+2, actually getting a 4+2 placement is huge. And then sitting through all that bloody paperwork and hours of stuff that you need to do to get all your competencies achieved and ticked, it takes such an effort to do it. It takes such persistence and motivation to get through and get your registration, especially as a psychologist. So I've got the knowledge of what's involved, so I can talk about our profession. And of course, it's the same with the other allied health professionals. Their routes are just a little bit different. Considering all of that study, surely you know what you are doing. And surely if you truly don't, you're going to refer on a client, or you're going to get supervision, or you're going to attend a workshop to get you there. So in terms of the actual evidence, is overwhelming. But we know that sometimes, what was her name, Naomi? Shari, or whomever it is that's sitting here on your shoulder going, you're not good enough, you will never be good enough, they're gonna catch you out. You know, that Shari or whomever that is doesn't even, they just go, that doesn't count, that doesn't count. But you know what? If CBT is not working for you in this instance, it is really just maybe asking yourself, and I'm trying to think, what type of therapy is this? I don't know, you tell me. Asking yourself, you know, who gets to decide that you are good enough as a clinician? Who gets to decide that you are no longer an imposter? Is it your clients? Is it your referrers? You know, is it your supervisor? You know, who gets to make that decision? I would suggest that the only person that can decide that you are good enough is you. Okay? Just you. You're the only one that can make that decision. And I think it's actually very unfair to expect your clients to validate you by coming back, or referrers to validate you by sending you more clients. Okay? Or your supervisor to validate you by telling you constantly how good you are. And we know that stuff is like a short-term injection of inspiration and motivation. It doesn't help, right? None of that will help until you, in here and in here and in here, decides that you are worthy, that you are good enough, that you are no longer an imposter. And you know what? You can decide. This is my left hand. I need to do this with my right hand. There you go. My strong hand has to hold the phone because I don't have my tripod here. I left my tripod at home. I've got 2 or 3 and they're all at home. Coming back to my point. Hey, Jen, thanks for hopping on. The only person that can decide who's good enough is you, okay? And unless you decide that you are good enough, your clients won't know it. They won't see it, because guess what? It will show in your sessions. You'll be anxious. You'll be nervous, right? You're going to be anxious and nervous speaking to GPs and other doctors when you go out and do your marketing if you feel like an imposter. So the only person that can change this for you is you. How empowering is that, okay? How empowering is that, that you can decide in an instance that, fuck that shit, I'm good enough, okay? I'm good enough. And what you need to know is that making a decision like that is a practice, okay? It's not, if this is something that's been there in the background for many, many years, it's not gonna just dissipate. Because remember, our brain has got some established neural pathways that's gonna go to all of that stuff, but it's gonna dish it up to you as this little voice talking in your head going, oh, well, you might have thought yesterday you're no longer an imposter, but guess what? You still are, okay? So every day it's gonna be a practice. Like every day, if you want to have a great body, you need to go to the gym. Or every day, if you want to go do a 10K marathon, you need to practice and go running every morning, right? And it's a practice to remind yourself that you are good enough, that you are no longer an imposter, and to remind yourself to drop the story. Because for as long as you have that story that you are an imposter, you're not going to be able to do the work that you are here to do. Okay? Let's go inside. It's very noisy. For those that joined late, there's the ocean. How amazing is that? How amazing! Mark says true. I hope the others, the rest of you, let's not be inappropriate and take you back to the bedroom. Let's just sit here in the TV lounge room. Not that I'm going to be watching TV here. I will definitely be watching TV on the bed, nice and comfy. So what I want to leave you with, okay, is to really think around this. You've got a gift. If you are a helping professional, you've got a gift, okay? And you need to believe in that gift, and you need to believe in it with the passion that's in you. And you need to do that. You're the only one, okay? The moment you start believing with passion that this is my gift that I have to help other people, okay? And I'm not saying be a charity, still running your practice like a business, but starting to believe that this is my gift, this is my talent, this is why I'm here, right? And I'm gonna own this, and I'm gonna drop the stories around not being good enough, because all that does is puts these hurdles like in my way. Imagine being an athlete that's used to running a normal 100 meters and all of a sudden they go, oh no, tonight you're running the 100 with all of these 10 hurdles in the way. That's what you're doing to yourself, right? So all you need to do is just push them over by dropping the story and remind yourself that you can decide in an instant that you are worthy, okay? So have a think about it. Remember that it is a practice on a daily basis. And remind yourself on a daily basis. Have a ritual, have a routine, whether that's journaling, whether that is reading something every morning, writing something in your diary, or maybe even on your computer when you open it up and it's there at the back of your screen where it tells you that you are worthy. You are passionate about helping people. You are no longer an imposter. Drop that nonsense and remind yourself about it until it's embedded in your brain and no longer an issue. All right, I think it is time to order some room service. No idea what we're gonna get. Needless to say, it will be good food. Maybe a bit of tad on the unhealthy side, seeing that, you know, we are at a hotel. I don't know. I haven't even looked at the hotel menu because we haven't ordered room service since we came. We've been going out for breakfast, lunch, and dinner the previous night. So I'm excited to see what's on the room service menu. I'm going to be sitting on the bed, going to see if there's anything on TV that I can watch. I'm probably going to, I don't know, am I gonna write something? I've already written a blog that I wanna post up probably tomorrow. I don't know, I'll see where it takes me. I believe my daughter is researching as we speak on her laptop tattoos. She wants her very first tattoo. She's bloody 16, right? 16. And it's illegal to get a tattoo in Queensland, thank goodness, I believe, until you're 18. And of course she tells me, but in New South Wales, you can get it before you are 18. So you just need to be 16. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I got my first tattoo, that one, with my kids' names when I was 42, 2 years ago, more or less. I got those. That's how long I had to wait for my first one. But she's got a really great motivation for it, and she thinks that's gonna get me to say yes, which is probably not gonna happen, because she wants a little, she wants a tattoo to remind her of her great grandpa that passed away 2 years ago when we were in South Africa. So, I mean, there's a lot of meaning attached to it, but I think 16 is a tad young, and I'm not gonna break the law. And I don't suspect that I'm gonna drive her all the way to New South Wales for a tattoo, but that's what she's doing at the moment, because she's been taking me through those and the significance that it has for her. So yes, parenting a teenager, very interesting. I must say though, I'm very lucky. She's a beautiful young girl in terms of personality and of course physically, I think, as her mom, but a beautiful personality, very caring. But yeah, looking into tattoos. Anyway, I'm gonna leave it at that, guys. Have an amazing Saturday, whatever it is that you are doing. Have a fabulous time. And remember, as always, all you need to do is say yes to your very own ultimate level 5 private practice. And I'll speak to you again very soon. Bye for now.